The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
You know what I want to talk about today? The national drug crisis. I was reading an editorial in the Washington Times from a guy named Robert Charles, who, spent a lot of time trying to solve the drug problem. He worked for a number of administrations. And he has a couple of great ideas, because there's so many young people of every race, every religion, who are dying of drug overdoses, right? And how about those who die because of drug driving, workplace accidents, urban violence, domestic abuse, property and personal crime? It's an epidemic. It's a drug epidemic. Now, Donald Trump was the first president to address it that I know of since Nancy Reagan as first lady. Remember? Just say no. Donald Trump said he would put a stop to the drugs coming in from Mexico. Let's be clear. One of the reasons you want the wall is to stop the flow of drugs. When Donald Trump was running, he appeared in many places. Of course, he appeared in New Hampshire, where there's a terrible, terrible drug epidemic of OxyContin, right? Now, we have an exploding marijuana abuse epidemic. Many of you think that marijuana is a benign drug. It is not. It's a toxic, dangerous gateway drug. It's a result of the failure of the media and the national leadership, who jokes and promotes drugs. That would be Obama. What do you expect when Obama released thousands of drug traffickers, those are drug dealers? You have a tear in the social fabric. What do you expect to happen when successive attorneys general fail to enforce federal laws against drug trafficking? Again, failed leadership. But there's a new sheriff in town. We have an opiate crisis. He says, the writer of this article, Mr. Robert Charles, that this is traceable in large measure to false messages. States are actually promoting drug abuse, especially of marijuana, with false narratives about marijuana being helpful for you, even if you're not sick. It is drug abuse. No way to look at it any other way. It is drug abuse. You put marijuana into a young teenager's brain, you're affecting the brain development. Deadly, in a deadly way. These narratives are criminal. And the raging marijuana crisis reflects ignorance, indifference, and cynicism. Legalizing and promoting drug abuse for tax money is sickening. And we're going to talk about that. Teens do not start with opiates. They begin with other drugs, especially marijuana. The fact of the matter is you don't want to accept it anymore because you've been brainwashed into thinking that marijuana is okay. It isn't. Every movie I turn on has someone smoking a joint. Now, treatment, okay, they say is essential, but it will not end the drug crisis. How do you end the drug crisis? I received an email on this from someone who will remain anonymous, who said, the way I see it, the drug abuse epidemic is merely one symptom of a bigger collective disease, which is a spiritual crisis due to a lack of community connectedness. I think the ultimate source of the problem likely has to do with disconnectedness, neglect, ignorance, rejection from and of God, and meaningful spirituality. Diseases, the writer says, must be addressed from the inside out, especially the drug disease. Because even if we could stop drugs at the border so as to cut the supply, well, that would probably just cause more homegrown suppliers to spring up and meet the demand. And the prices would go up, of course. If the homegrown suppliers were stopped too, then people would turn to alcohol or cough syrup or whatever else the ingenuity of a hurting soul can come up with to numb the mysterious pain and fill the unseen void. It is a matter of supply and demand. The supply will never be eliminated. So the only possible solution is to reduce or eliminate the demand. On that note, I want to play a soundbite from one of the Mexican officials who blames us for the drugs coming over the border in clip 18. Tell me what you think of this.
For years, from the Mexican perspective, people say, okay, the problem with drugs is creating so many violence, so many deaths of young people in Mexico is because there's demand for drugs in the U.S. Right. And because we happen to be neighbors to the largest market for drugs. From the American perspective, it's just the other way around.
Right.
It's we have all these drugs because Mexico's selling these drugs to us. So it's a blame game, and it's not. But that's a totally incorrect approach if we want a solution for the problem. We need to understand that this is a market where there's supply and demand, and we need to work together. Collaboration's got to be mutual,
mm-hmm.
not only from the U.S. Supporting Mexico, but also from Mexico supporting the U.S. to completely disrupt a business model, a criminal business model, mm-hmm. that is creating large profit for these cartels, but it's also killing people on both sides of the border.
Okay, that's Mexican Foreign Minister Luis Videgaray, very intelligent man, and he says there cannot be a blame game in the drug war. And yet there's a subtle blaming of the U.S. for illegal guns in the next clip, which I don't want to go into the gun story. I want to stick to the drug thing, okay? We can talk about guns another time. I don't want to do it. It's the third rail of radio. There's a couple of third rails. Guns are one of them. The minute you say guns is done, period. Now, before we go on to the drug abuse story on the Savage Nation with your ideas of how you would solve the drug crisis, it's easy to say build a wall and stop the drugs from coming in. Fine, that's probably a good starter. But you and I both know they're not just coming in over the border. They're coming in by airplane. They're coming in from Canada. God knows how people are smuggling drugs in at every airport in the United States of America. There seems to be an unlimited demand for the relief from the empty souls, relief from the emptiness that the souls in America seem to feel. It's an empty nation. It's been hollowed out. The churches are dying. I know you don't want to believe it. I'll give you an example of what's going on in the churches. A distant or close relative of my family died the other night, named Jimmy Black. A beautiful soul, a steam fitter, pipe fitter from New York. He died at 93 after a long illness. A beautiful guy. He just died. So I'm out here in California. I wanted to go to a church and light a candle for him. I'm not Catholic, but I know he was. I wanted to light a candle for him. We call a local church and they say, well, we don't have candles anymore. They're illegal. I said, are you kidding me? No, the code says you can't light a candle in a Catholic church. So I want to show you how the liberals have destroyed religion step by step. The firemen say you can't light a candle. What's next? The candy people will say, what is that? Something just went off. The candy people will say next what? What's next? The candy people will say that the wafers are bad for tooth decay, the Dental Association. Next we'll hear the vestments are flammable and that you can't have vestments in a church. This is what's going on. So anyway, Jimmy Black is being laid to rest, or was laid to rest, which is a shout-out to this beautiful soul, steam for the New York Union. But we can't even light a candle to him. You see what I'm saying? I know if I go into a Jewish temple, they light candles. I don't understand why the Catholics can't. The Orthodox Jews light candles on a Friday night, right? All right, 855-407-282. The topic is drugs. The topic is drugs, and how do we stop this crisis? Donald Trump was very clear when he was running. He said, we're going to stop the contraband, the drugs, by building a wall. That's a step. But how do you stop the demand? That's what I was talking about today on the show, right? Now, I have an email from a commentator named Mr. Zig Z, and he says, Mr. Charles, with all due respect, you missed the point of legalization. In pre-Reagan days, mafia controlled the drug trade with an iron fist. There was no war for control and competing grades of product. It was in the mafia's best interest to keep its addicts alive, consuming more product. Reagan ended that when he broke up the mafia. That produced many small wars for the drug trade. It gave rise to crack cocaine, sold by 15-year-old kids who knew the worst that would happen to them is they would be safer and eat better in juvenile detention. Today there are so many designer drugs, it is hard to keep track of which is which. He writes, in my hometown, there are 20-somethings who refuse to graduate high school because it is the best place to buy drugs. Sounds like Marin County. The drug kids have a hard time getting alcohol. Alcohol is a legal drug sold in a controlled environment for profit that is subject to taxation while creating genuine jobs. For alcohol to get into a child's hands, it has to come from an adult, and few adults would put their lives at risk for selling alcohol to a minor. Legalizing drugs would have the same effect. Let's just consider heroin, he continues. What if you had to be 21 and gainfully employed to purchase heroin? You needed a state-issued heroin card, like a fishing license, to purchase it. And it was administered by a professional who recorded time and dosage to limit chance of overdose. All of this could be done in a confined space monitored by the state for health and safety standards. Wouldn't that be better than having the easiest place to buy heroin be public school? That's an interesting thought when you think about it. So I don't know whether we should legalize hard drugs and have the state control them. I don't know if that's part of the answer. But I opened the show by reading an email from someone who said, hey, it's a spiritual crisis. It's a spiritual crisis that people are trying to fill the mysterious pain and fill the unseen void. It's a matter of supply and demand. The supply will never be eliminated, so the only possible solution is to eliminate the demand. What would you do to stop the drug epidemic? Now, it's easy to get very draconian and do what they're doing in the Philippines, what Mr. Duterte is doing. He's killing all drug dealers. He's got vigilante hit squads going out, probably off-duty cops who are killing drug dealers in the Philippines. Remember that big scandal when Obama was president? I don't know if you remember this. Many of you are cheering. Many Filipinos are cheering. There are many problems with vigilantes who are allowed to kill with impunity. One of them is, how do you know he's really a drug dealer? How do you know they wouldn't be killing people for political reasons? How do you know they wouldn't be saying you're a drug dealer and have you knocked off for your political beliefs? Very dangerous to go down that road, believe me. Trust me, that's a dangerous one. So, my friends, it's a topic that I'd like to talk about because it's not talked about. And is a national drug crisis. And Donald Trump promised to stop the drug crisis during the campaign. And frankly, he has done the first thing. He has passed some laws through executive orders that the vermin in the media are already knocking. Whatever he does is no good to the drug pushers on television. You look at the drug pushers on television. What do they have to say against Trump when he says he's going to crack down on crime? They didn't like that either. Or he's going to support the police. They didn't like that either. The craven idiots in the media, those who put out the fake news, those who support drug addiction and rampant sexuality with children. My friends, we have to solve the problem. You must not look to Jake Tapper as the Albert Einstein of the media. The man is a shill, a dummy, a dummy. In my day, the most a guy like that could have done was maybe be a shoe salesman. That's all the most. A shoe salesman in, let's say, at the Bloomingdale's, on his knees all day, trying on different size shoes. Shoes. I guess he could choose the shoes for you. Phone number 855-407-282. We're talking about the drug epidemic, something that the media will not touch. Why? Interlocking corporate directorships. You heard me. Oh, yes. Ask yourself why the major media doesn't touch the drug epidemic. Interlocking corporate directorships. Think about what I just said to you. The same board members who sit on media companies, sit on drug companies, sit on pharmaceutical companies, and God knows what boards they sit on in the star chambers of America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Now, Economist magazine recently published analysis that found the nation's murder rate is rising at its fastest pace since the early 70s. Really? We didn't know about that while Barry was president. The official propaganda line was that crime was down, homicides were down, everything was coming up roses. Meanwhile, the murder rate in Chicago was out of control, but nobody would report it. All of the Wolfies and the Jakes of the world. Now, all of a sudden, we find out everything we knew. Murder rate rising out of control. So Trump signs three executive actions yesterday to do with the crime in America. And the new attorney general is a tough guy. He's going to do this. And one of the executive orders is about drugs. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And he said, I'm going to read it. First, Director and Partner of Justice Department of Homeland Security to undertake all necessary and lawful action to break the back of the criminal cartels that have spread across our nation, are destroying the blood of our youth and other people, many other people. Good for Trump. He gets no credit from the drug peddlers in the media, though. Why? Interlocking corporate directorships. They don't want to offend their bosses. You can't admit that there's a drug epidemic if your boss, who sits on the board of your media company, also sits on a pharmaceutical company that might be producing opiates or, God knows, some boards of secret places that they're not even knowing about. Okay, so he's going to go after transnational criminal organizations. Now, the fact of the matter is he's delivering on a campaign promise. Wouldn't you think that liberals would salute him for this? You would if you lived in a society which had liberals. We no longer have real liberals. We have radicals. They're not liberals. Don't confuse them. And yes, and I'll tell you, I explain it all in Trump's war. It's part of a big chapter on the drug war. It's in there. The crime is in there. And you have to be part of the drug war. But the question for today is, how would you solve the drug crisis? I'm going to try to avoid the Kellyanne issue today, if I can, unless she makes a goofball appearance. To me, she's become, Kellyanne Conway has become the Nancy Pelosi of the Trump administration. How was it that we were able to make fun of Nancy Pelosi and no one said anything? The minute I point out barfly and narcissism and gaffe one after the other and peddling cosmetic lines from the White House lawn, you attack me for saying this. She's become the Nancy Pelosi of the Trump administration. Maybe I should just play the sound like the Woody Woodpecker sound behind her every time she speaks from now on. Actually, no, we'll play the other sound. But look, let's talk about the drug issue. That's the real story. And I want your answers on this question. How would you solve the drug crisis? You're the Americans who elected the new president. What would you do if you could advise Donald Trump? What would you have Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, do? Period. End of story.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Upside down world. Well, maybe it'll be straightened out by Trump. Who knows? We're hoping. So he passes three executive orders to crack down on the cartels, to stop the flow of drugs. We got a new attorney general, as tough as nails, and he knows who the bad guys are, and he knows that it's not Republicans who voted for Trump. Okay, so maybe we will have a better nation with more law and order. But we're talking today about the drug epidemic on the Savage Nation, right? So I told you I read one about an emailer who said that it has to do with a spiritual crisis, symptom of a bigger collective disease, and people have hurting souls, and they're trying to numb the pain, fill the unseen void, and even if you cut off the supply, the demand will the supply will never be eliminated, so the only possible solution is to try to eliminate the demand. I don't have an answer to eliminating the demand, because a furtherance to that email says this: even though we have a spiritual crisis, Americans also grow up trained to seek pleasure in the form of quick fix highs from sugar and sweets all day long, instant entertainment, now it's on androids, sex obsession, the high of falling in love, as opposed to staying in a relationship after that high wears off. So I don't know how you solve it. You know, the years I was a phytochemist, I was an ethnobotanist, to be specific, and I remember reading about all the cultures on Earth going back to the beginning of time who sought relief from what they called the vicissitudes of existence. Every culture on this Earth from the beginning of time, even in cave drawings, sought a relief from the boredom of everyday life. In other words, the vicissitudes of existence, whether it was called ayahuasca, or it was an early mash produced by the ancient Babylonians. You know that story of how beer was originated. I remember writing that. In 1975, I published the book, The Taster's Guide to Beer. I love that book. Did a lot of interesting research on beer. I don't drink much beer now, but I did then, and I home-brewed. I did it all back in the 70s. It was a beautiful book. The story was is that in ancient day, you know, Mesopotamia, someone was chewing some of the grains, didn't finish the meal, left it over that night in a dish. They didn't have refrigeration. The next day they came to eat it. They ate what was left over in their house. They ate it and they got a weird feeling like, hey, that feels good. My husband doesn't look as ugly anymore today. And that's because it had fermented slightly and alcohol had been produced from the ambient yeast mixing with the dough, whatever it was. And that was the beginning of the brewing of beer. That's one theory on how beer was originally brewed. Now, you know, wine originated in ancient Persia. I don't know if you know that. That's the last I checked. So every culture, every society, no matter where, if they could, they would find relief from everyday vicissitudes, existence, boredom. People are freaked out every day because they can't take it. So they look for a way out. Now, you're looking for a way out by listening to me. I'm addictive. I'm a drug. My voice is a drug. I know it. The talk radio is a very addictive medium. This is an addictive drug, this medium that you're listening to. I highly recommend it. I'm the supplier, and you're the user. But we have many different ways to get out of our lives, don't we? Sometimes we go to the racetrack, or we go to a sporting event. We get out of ourselves. That's okay. It's kind of harmless, right? Not hurting anybody. Or we use alcohol, we use marijuana, which is probably the most dangerous lie of our time. I'm so totally opposed to the legalization movement under the guise that it's healthful, it is not healthful. I don't want to argue with you. I'm not saying alcohol is good for you and marijuana is bad, but please, the pot callers are legion. I don't want any of them. If they want to destroy their brains, they can do it. God bless all of you. Go destroy your brain. You're going to destroy your life as well. You're walking around high. You're telling me that you're functioning well. Let's put this on an animal level before we get back to the generics. The specifics. Let's do the generics. Look at the animal world. It's a competitive world, is it not? Live and, you know, live and die, to live and die, kill or be killed in the animal world, predator prey. What animal on earth would seek to weaken its vigilance in the jungle? Tell me what animal on earth would want to be weaker in the jungle when knowing that the predator's everywhere. Now, why would you want to weaken your mind and weaken your body and open yourself up to be more vulnerable to attack unless you're suicidal? Then I can't help you. That's another problem. It's not my problem. So what I'm arguing for is try to stay straight in plain English. You know that we have the first straight president in God knows how many years. I don't know if anyone's talked about this one. I didn't plan on even talking about it. Donald Trump doesn't drink. When have you last seen Jake Tapper talk about that? That fool. That shoeshine boy of the left, Jake Tapper. Donald Trump does not drink. How important is that? I don't know. You think about it. That's why he's up all night. He probably doesn't sleep very much. He doesn't need to sleep. He's full of energy. Doesn't drink, not even a social drink, and not a wine, not a beer. I understand that because I learned it very early on in my studying about Donald Trump before I initially backed him. So now you're going to see things you cannot believe in this country. Okay, so now let's put that aside. The world's changing right in front of our eyes. And I've asked you what you would do. I could ask you what you do to relieve the boredom or the isolation or the loneliness or the jitters. I'm not interested. That's really not the title, the purpose of the show. The purpose of the show, or for the next few minutes that I want to do this, is the drug epidemic that is out of control because Obama looked the other way. And to make matters even worse, the worst president in American history released thousands of drug dealers as a spit in the eye to the middle class. Just as he left office, he released thousands of drug dealers into the streets of America to do what they do best, which is poison the minds of America. Think about that. He was the worst president, the most toxic president in American history. One day you'll see, if we ever save this country and we get a real historian instead of the plagiarist, Ruth, whatever they call her, the official presidential historian, the one that MSNBC loves, you know. What would you do? Let's take some callers, okay? You're out there. You're the people. You know what's what, right? You know what's what. What would you do? If you were on a commission, what would you do? How would you do it? Huh? I'm showing you something here. I'm showing you something here. Seizures of drugs in transit within the United States in kilograms in 2009. Land, sea, and air. Land is number one, okay? We know that. But then there's another graph that I could throw at you that you should know about on how to solve the drug problem. Seizures of drugs in transit within the United States in kilograms, or I just did that one for you. Most of them come in by land. 1.588 million kilos. Let's say 1.6 million kilos in 09, the last time we have data, came in by land. 25,000 kilos by sea. And 12,000 kilos came in by air. That's the drugs that were seized, okay? It's just an indicator. So if you build a wall, you're going to stop an awful lot of it from coming in. Now, what's going to happen? Prices are going to go through the roof. That's number one. I tell you right now, drugs will still get in, but the prices are going to go up. It'll be a free-for-all. The junkies are going to go out of control. There's going to be a crazy time in America when the supply dries up, but it's going to happen. Now, where does all the money go? Remember the movie, I was watching it again last night, one of my favorite movies with Al Pacino. I forget the name of it. He comes over as a Cuban Mariel boat lift guy. Remember the Mariel boat invasion when when Castro released the... not Carlito's Way. No. Al, the other one. It was... what? Scarface. Okay. So you watch the Mariel boat invasion. Castro spited America. We said we want all the Cubans who are trying to get out of your police state. Good. He said, I'll give them all to you. So he emptied jail of his drug dealers, his perverts, his sickos, and he dumped them on us, right? They came into Miami, and the rest is history. Well, the same thing is going on right now from the Middle East. We're getting the vermin, the garbage, by and large, of the Middle East that nobody wants. They're fleeing their own countries because a lot of them are criminals, but you don't know that. Even Assad said that many of them are terrorists, but you would rather spit in the president's face. We have the equivalent right now of the Mariel boat invasion coming in from the Middle East. Do you know that? What do you think is coming in? The cream of the crop? Stravinsky is coming in from Aleppo? It's not Stravinsky. What you have is Al Capone coming and pretending that they're victims. But you idiots don't see it. All you want to do is spit on Trump. He tried to warn you. He tried to stop the flow. And I love the hearts and flowers every night. The poor Muslim woman reunited with her little daughter with polio. Are they crazy? Are they sick? Do you know why we hate them? We know what fake news is. We all look through them. But it doesn't stop the boys from NYU from doing it. They cannot stop what they do best, which is lie and create fake news. So now we have the equivalent of the Mariel boat invasion coming in from Syria, Libya. God knows what hellhole on earth they're pouring in. And how many of them are going to poison us as they pour in, as did the Mariel boat invasioners as they came into Miami. But let's go back to that movie, as I said. What was the name of the movie again? I keep forgetting the name. Who remembers it? Scarface. Okay, so the money comes in. They do the drug deals. They got millions and millions of dollars in illicit cash. They don't know what to do with it. They have to wash it through the banks. Remember they go to the banker? Remember that story? The nice white guy who runs the bank, and they're bringing the cash in barrels and bags, and he washes it for them, and he takes 10% or 20%, whatever the number may be. So the money is going somewhere. Where's the money going? Where's the money going? Where's all the cash going? How do you control that? How is this new government going to control that? Well, I have some ideas of what they're going to do. And it may not be good for all of us. That's the problem. See, they may do things that you think are good on the face of it that'll harm the average person. What if they outlawed cash? What if Trump wakes up one morning and he sends Kellyanne Conway to say that they're going to outlaw cash? And you have 60 days to get rid of all your cash. What are you going to do then? Let's say you're a perfectly legal guy who's had a lot of cash in his life. You put it in cash because you don't want to put it in banks or whatever. What are you going to do with the money? See, that's the problem. It's after-tax money, but what are you going to do with it? I don't know. It's an interesting... All this stuff is connected. Cash, drugs, spirituality, candles, vicissitudes, phytochemistry, you know, things like that. This is the Savage Nation. As you understand, it's a smorgasbord of ideas connected to the national drug crisis. But I give you the totality of the picture as opposed to the linear. I don't give you the linear. A linear would be a single line, one line, down the line, one thing over and over again till you want to go smoke a joint. If I did linear, you'd have to go and find a heroin dealer in your neighborhood if I got through 30 minutes of that. Linear radio, 30 minutes, you need a drug. You'd have to reach for a tranquilizer or a Xanax. So I give you the totality. I give you the smorgasbord. I give you the whole thing, the entire enchilada of the situation, and you got to pick it up where you want. And the question to you is, how would you solve the drug crisis? It's that simple. It's not a big deal. It's a big crisis, but it's a great topic for today. Why? Because it is. And I'll be back to talk about it with you right here in the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Hey, guys, aren't you tired of guessing what she wants for Valentine's Day? I mean, this is all about girls and women, isn't it? Wouldn't you love an easy fail-proof way to be loved again? I mean, let's be clear. Never mind looking like a pro, to actually have someone like you again. This year, Pro Flowers is making it easier than ever by taking all of the guesswork out. It's simple. On top of their already low prices, right now you can get 24 assorted roses with free glass vase for $29.99 plus shipping and handling, or you upgrade for $9.99 more, and you get 24 long stem assorted roses with a premium vase and chocolate. You go to proflowers.com, use my code SAVAGE. Order now, have it delivered on Valentine's Day. It goes to home or work. And believe me, look, let's be clear. When her coworkers rush over and they say, wow, what a gift, you'll know you did Valentine's Day just right. And Pro Flowers bouquets are guaranteed to last 7 days, or you get your money back. No one knows flowers like me. And here's the only way to get 24 assorted roses with free glass vase, starting at $29.99. You go to proflowers.com, click on the blue mic in the top right, and type in SAVAGE. That's proflowers.com. Click on the mic, top right, type in my code SAVAGE. Get lucky. Don't wait. Order today. The deal expires soon. It's that simple. Now let's get back to the news of the day, which is drugs. Drugs, 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 drugs. How is it that most people can get along without them? Let's start with the other side of the drug addiction story. Yes, there's an addiction problem, but most Americans are not addicted to drugs. Most Americans get through a day without having to stick a needle in their arm or snort something up their nose or smoke some poison. How do they do that? Someone emailed me just now and said the Dutch legalized heroin and destroyed Holland. Hello? Is that what you want in America? Sure. If you work for one of the corporations that have the news business and they also have the rehab business and they're also in the pharmaceutical business, sure, poison a nation. What do you care? You make it every six ways to Sunday. You own the entertainers that push the drugs. You own the drug companies that make the drugs. You own the rehab companies that treat the drug addicts. Why not legalize drugs? Sure, that's the argument, right? What would you say is the answer? What is the answer? That's what we're talking about. I'm not going to do this for 3 hours. I'm going to do it for a little bit more. But I want to know what you think. And I like to, you know, get your answers. I told you there's a spiritual aspect. Well, what's the answer to that? What, are you going to pray? You're going to, heroin addict's got the shakes because he wants a shot. He's going to go pray all of a sudden. That's going to be the cure? I don't know. Does that work? I doubt it. When someone's in withdrawal, you can't tell them, here's a Bible. Does that work? I don't think it works. So what does that mean? See, it's easy to say there's a spiritual element. We all know that it's caused by an emptiness in the soul. We get that. But you know, an emptiness of the soul didn't just begin yesterday. It began when mankind turned his back from the Garden of Eden. I mean, that's when the emptiness began. What are you going to do about that? So a lot of people find it in religion. Former drug addicts or non-drug addicts, they find a fulfillment in religion, in a relationship with God. What does fulfillment mean? Look at the word. Look at the power of a word. I'm a master of words. Look up the etymology of fulfillment, to be filled. But to be filled with what? Not filled with junk, not filled with poison, not filled with dope, not filled with toxins, not filled with filth. Fulfillment. In this case, fulfilled with the word of God. It works for millions of people. It has worked for millions of people from the beginning of recorded history. Christians, Jews, are relieved of that emptiness through their religion, aren't they? Easier said than done. But nevertheless, it's out there for you. It's out there. It doesn't have to be created. You don't have to search for the answer. The answer is sitting awaiting for you. That's my Sermon on the Mount. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I wasn't born yesterday, let me tell you that. I've been around the block, seen a lot, done a lot. Here I am. We have a national drug crisis, and we're talking about it. I don't have the answers, I have the questions. Now, the president has the answers, but he gets no credit for his answers. He passed three executive orders. One of them or two of them had to do with cracking down on the drug epidemic, but he got no credit from the Lilliputians in the media, did he? I think I'll stop calling them vermin. It's worn off. I'll call them what they really are, Lilliputians. Jonathan Swift said it best. Lilliputians like Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper. Little people, little minds, midgets, midget brains, Lilliputians of the brain. He should get the credit for it, because America's in the midst of an unprecedented abuse, addiction, and drug-related crime crisis. Drug-related homicides, violent crimes, domestic abuse, use, addiction, ER incidents, treatment costs. Tell us what you don't want to hear. 2.8 million Americans are in drug treatment. Did you hear that? More every year. Multiple states are trying to deal with this menace. Maine, 10,000 in treatment. Alaska has 10,000 people in treatment. Maine, 19,000. Arizona, 78,000. Pennsylvania, 180,000 people in treatment. West Virginia, 214,000. Ohio, 220,000 in treatment. And the numbers are going up. They're being treated for everything from opiates, synthetics, marijuana. Pick up any newspaper. Three Amtrak workers were killed. One tested positive for coke. A second for oxy. Codeine and morphine. A third for the very, very sacred drug of marijuana. They were at different jobs, but they all died. What's going on? Great editorial in today's Washington Times by Robert Charles. What the national drug crisis requires. And he has some of the answers. He says the raging marijuana crisis reflects ignorance, indifference, and cynicism. He says legalizing and promoting drug abuse, pardon me, for tax money is immoral. It's a very interesting story. How would you call a smoked narcotic a medicine? How would you promote the use of such a narcotic by children and call it anything but drug peddling? You're telling me it's safe for your children in high school to smoke dope? It's benign. It isn't benign. A lot of them are winding up in... Ask any ER doctor how many people are winding up, especially teenagers, in ER rooms with psychotic episodes simply from smoking benign marijuana. The marijuana of today is not the marijuana of the 60s or the 70s. It's 200 times stronger in some cases. It's been hybridized and made more potent. People are becoming getting hallucinogenic reactions from even one bite of some of these chewies. They're getting hallucinogenic reactions. Is this what you want for America? You want further and further usage of drugs? I don't. Neither does Donald Trump. That's why we're talking about it. And I want your opinion. And I think that the people have the answers. It's not the government. Let's turn to the people, especially the people of the Savage Nation. Those of us who helped in getting Donald Trump elected, those of us who are fighting Trump's war along with him. Pablo on KSFO, welcome to the show. Pablo, what's your point?
Pleasure to speak to you, Dr. Savage. So I just wanted to tell you that what I think should happen to end the drug war and just to kind of control things, two things. I agree with you on what you say in government zero, okay? And I'm a convicted felon for conspiracy to manufacture and distribute marijuana. I think there should be a 10-year moratorium on immigration, period, every country. And I think that during that time, Trump and the following administration need to build defenses on the border, the wall, monitor underground tunnel construction, and increase security at the border, and also monitor flights that are coming in and freight that is coming in from overseas while that moratorium is happening. And I think at the same time, he should legalize drugs, but not because, hear me out, I don't think he should legalize them just so people can abuse them. I think if you legalize it and remove the criminal penalty while diminishing the demand by, you know, just exterminating everything coming in here, that's going to work. I don't think people should be punished, but I definitely believe in Trump's opinion, and I've been with you all the way, Dr. Savage. As a felon, as somebody who's been in the drug game, I agree with you 110% all the way.
Wow. Bravo. Let's hear it for Pablo. Well, it would be glib of me to answer your statement with another statement or say I agree with you. There are things in which you have said that I agree with. The others I have to think about for a little while. I have called for eliminating all immigration for 7 years in my last book, Pablo. You know that. Except for national emergencies, meaning if there is a professional that we can't find amongst the American population, which is highly unusual, we would let that immigrant in. You know, a real specialist in something that we really need, like a Wernher von Braun in rocket science. We don't need it, though. We have the best people on Earth. We don't have to go find them anywhere else. Wonderful people in India, wonderful people in Taiwan, wonderful people in China, but let them stay in their own countries and take care of their own countries better. We've got to employ our own geniuses and our own workers. So no immigration for 7 years. How does that stop the drug epidemic, Pablo?
This is what I think. If there's no immigration for 10 years and you don't have people from other countries coming here illegally that are going to help distribute for the cartel, that's going to obviously help tremendously, because you have this influx of immigrants coming from not only Mexico, but they're coming from Cuba, they're coming from the Middle East, they're coming from everywhere. And listen to me, as a Cuban, my parents came here in the 60s, you know, shortly after Castro took over. That generation of Cubans like my parents and grandparents, are the ones who built Miami, the ones that became attorneys, owned their own companies, built their own companies, became doctors. This generation.
Well, what about the Mariel boat invasion of the 80s? Wasn't it of the 80s?
Correct. That was of the 80s. And those Cubans, and moving forward, after that, everything moving forward, those Cubans have destroyed Miami and have turned Miami into a place that I don't want to live in. Because, listen, I'm Hispanic, but what this has turned into, I agree with you 100% on so many things like white male inventions and white culture and American culture and how valuable borders, language, and culture is. These Cubans that have been coming here have turned this into an island. Nobody speaks English here, Dr. Savage. I live in the number one Spanish-speaking country in the United States. It's called Hialeah, okay? And I
yep.
can't stand being here. I can't stand being here. And the Mexicans coming here now are just like the Cubans who were coming in the 80s. Not all of them are bad, but a lot of them are. So you need to do something. You can't let a few bad apples in just to let good people in. That doesn't work.
Now, by the way, I want to ask you a side question. You speak Spanish from the Cuban language side, right? Castilian Spanish?
Sí, señor.
Do you understand the Mexican Spanish in all cases?
Yeah, I understand the Mexican Spanish. You know, when I did time, I was with a few Mexican people, and it's a different dialect and a different accent. But when you're Hispanic, you know where other Hispanic people are from. You can tell if they're Mexican, Dominican, Puerto Rican. You know.
How many years did you do in the can?
I did a couple of years. It was a short sentence. It was just for conspiracy, and I wasn't the ringleader or anything like that. But you know,
I don't want to go into like what you're doing now, but you're very, very strong in your opinions. But how do you solve the demand side, Pablo?
The way that I think, because this is the thing, Dr. Savage, and I know you have your opinion, and I respect that. I think this is the thing. I agree that, you know, it's a lot of baloney the way they try to promote marijuana for medicinal purposes. I still smoke marijuana, but I'm going to tell you straight up that it's for pleasure. It's for relaxation for me. It's kind of like a recreational thing, but I can still function. I'm not like other people, and I'm not making any excuses for it, but I think that if you legalize the drugs and don't punish people for possession, but you start the process of stopping immigration, building the wall.
Wait, when you smoke marijuana, what's the effect on you?
I have a lot of anxiety, Dr. Savage. I'm a very high-energy person, kind of like Trump.
Welcome to the club. Lucky for me, I have a microphone.
Correct, and you do a great job at it, Dr. Savage. I've been listening to you for 20 months, and you're a genius, Dr.
Well, Pablo, this is my addiction. Radio is my addiction, but now when you have personal marijuana vaporizers called vape pens, which have gained popularity and fit in the palm of the human hand, and vaping has spread widely throughout the world, and people are getting high at work, what are we going to do about that?
You know what, Dr. Savage, and that's the thing. You know, some people can function on it. Honestly, I'm telling you right now, some people can, some people can't. I just think you need to give it a chance and see what happens. I mean, I've smoked the vape pens. It's called wax. You know, it's not like the herbal. It's a wax that you smoke. And it's stronger than smoking herbal marijuana, but I can't explain it. I can still function. It's just a relaxer for me. That's it. That's all.
Okay, when you smoke the wax version of cannabis, are you getting high, or are you just getting relaxed?
Oh, you're getting high and relaxed. It kind of enhances my creativity and my, when I smoke weed, Dr. Savage, I kind of spend my time listening to you and listening to things related to politics.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want you to fly an airplane while you were just smoking marijuana. See, this is the problem with marijuana. I smoked it when I was young. No bones about that. I look at my journals from the years I was smoking dope pretty heavily. I was writing trash, garbage. I thought it was genius. This is the problem with marijuana, is that I look at my handwriting. I could see my handwriting in my journals. I still have all my journals. My handwriting would change when I was high into some different kind of script. I wasn't thinking clearly, and most of what I wrote was dreck. It has no meaning whatsoever. So I'm a rationalist when it comes down to it. I think the rational mind is the most constructive of all minds. I really don't think that creativity on drugs is really worth very much. You smear some dreck around on a canvas and call it art? It doesn't mean because a New York art dealer can sell it for $8 million that it's worth anything. But I'm not going to argue about it. People are going to do what they want to do anyway, Pablo. You know it and I know it. And the trend is such that people are going to use more, not less. The question is, how do we control this? Because it's an out-of-control problem. And I think Trump has made the first step by saying he's going to crack down on the drug dealers. What do you think about that?
He needs to crack down on the drug dealers. Honestly, listen, I've done all types of drugs, Dr. Savage, but all I did was really deal with consenting adults, business professionals. You know, I sold them marijuana, but there's a lot of bad hombres, as he likes to put it. You see, I'm Hispanic. That's not racist at all. You know, I'm sick of this politically correct crap. There's a lot of bad hombres out there, all right, really bad people, MS-13 and other gangs from Central America and Mexico that are here. He needs to get rid of them ASAP. ASAP, yesterday.
Well, we're not going to solve the problem today, but we're going to talk about the problem a little bit longer, and also the seven Muslim countries that Obama was himself trying to stop people from coming in from. That's an interesting story. They took action under Obama with then Homeland Secretary Jay Johnson to deny visa-free travel to the U.S. to citizens of visa waiver program countries who had visited Syria, Sudan, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, Somalia, or Libya. It was called foreign terrorist travel. No one argued with it when Obama did it. They called Trump racist, but Obama did the very same thing. Pablo, I'm sending you a copy of my new book. What's it called? If you name it, you gain it.
Trump's War.
Well, you're not that high if you can remember. Remember that. It should be out in a few weeks now. I can't believe time is flying. Stay on the line. It is February 10th. My book will be out in about a month. Amazing. All right, well, there it is. I use drugs. You know what I use? I'll tell you what I use. I use diet soda, caffeine, and aspartame. Tremendous for my mind. I have a beer at night or a drink at night. That's really what I do. People think I'm a big drinker. I'm not. One or two drinks max. That's all I have. I hate the feeling of getting drunk. I never get drunk. You know, personally, I'm telling you from my point of view, I'm addicted to television movies. I'll admit it. It's one of my ways of relaxing. Maybe they should ban movies then, as they do in Muslim countries, because it's considered something evil because you don't look at Allah. I don't know. But the thing is, I mean, I'd rather look at a movie at night. Unfortunately, there's not a lot on TV to watch. So I default to car shows with the guys with the weird beards who are fixing things. I can't look at the beards, but I like that they can fix things and make cars run. I like how they can take sheet metal and redo it and rebuild carburetors and engines and the springs and the shocks and a tire, and a car comes out and makes noise. I love it. That's America at its best. When I watch the car shows, I like History Channel, and I like movies. So that's an addiction. Is that not an addiction? Is it harmful to my brain? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe I could do something more productive, like fix the legs of broken chickens. I'll be back to think about it with you on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Frenchman blames Uber for breaking up marriage after glitch let wife follow his every move. Okay, nice, very nice. Then I look on the bottom of the article, and I see that in June of 2015, Uber launched a food delivery service in London. Maybe Uber Connects launch a drug delivery service? You know, get your meth here, deliver coke, meth, heroin. Why not? This is free society. It's capitalism. Apple's Tim Cook tells Theresa May he is very optimistic about post-Brexit UK at Downing Street meeting. That means they'll get away with paying no taxes again. Theresa May, a real doll. Who is this Tim Cook? It's like the Kellyanne Conway of the tech industry. Everywhere I turn, there's Tim Cook. Smiling, coming out with his fingers up like he just flew a Spitfire in the Battle of London. The Battle of Britain. What, he conned her now? Apple's Tim Cook tells Theresa May he's very optimistic about post-Brexit UK at Downing Street meeting. Oh, he is? He's very optimistic about Apple's going to pay its fair share? See, here's where I believe Bernie Sanders has a message that's worth listening to. You talk about fair share. Don't aim it at me, Bernie. Don't aim it at the hardworking Americans like me who are taxed to death. Aim it at Tim Cook. Aim it at Zuckerberg. Aim it at Microsoft. Aim it at all of these huge companies that don't receive their money in America. They receive it in Europe. They pay no U.S. taxes to speak of. And you're telling me fair share. Why doesn't anyone take them on? Why? I'll give you an answer why. Who was seen in the Trump Tower 2 months ago? The whole tech industry was there. They hated Trump. They opposed Trump. They tried to stop Trump. They were for Hillary. Then they were in Trump Tower. They came out smiling. Have you seen anyone say they're going to tax them? No. Hello? You haven't heard anything about taxing those who are sending their money overseas, have you? It's a whole thing is a scam from top to bottom, Bernie. How would you solve the drug crisis? Is the question of the day.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation. Here's a little bit of news. This is a little weird, this one. It's a little troubling because President Donald Trump reaffirmed Washington's long-standing so-called One China policy in a call with Beijing's strongman, a move that could ease anger in China over his earlier suggestions that he might use Taiwan as leverage in negotiations over trade, security, and other sensitive issues. Now, I want to remind you of something. I am not a consultant to Donald Trump. I'm not an advisor to Donald Trump. Remember I said he made a mistake by taking or making that call to Taiwan's leader? Do you remember it? Raise your hand if you remember. You remember how I was attacked by the Trump bots? How dare you criticize the new president? He's hardly started yet. I said it was a gaffe. You made a big mistake by embarrassing China in public. Now he's turned 180. And here we go. And he's into the One China policy. The long-awaited call between Chinese President Xi Jinping and Trump came Thursday evening. And Trump agreed to honor the One China policy, the White House said. Now, I want to ask you something. What did we get out of that call? Tell me what we got out of it. I don't know what we got out of it. What did we get out of the deal? I mean, he talked tough during the campaign. I understand that. We heard everything about China. They're smart. They out-traded us. Now, Rex Tillerson is the new Secretary of State, right? Okay. And who's Rex Tillerson? Oil. So, now you know the answer. That's the rest of the story. Trump has also said to discuss the One China policy with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson in recent days. According to personal knowledge and discussions, Trump and Tillerson had dinner Thursday shortly before the president's call to Xi. They were joined at the White House dinner by Republican mega donor Sheldon Adelson. Oh, my goodness. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. Money talks and BS walks. We've heard that since we're children. Money talks and BS walks. It's that simple. You pay as you go in this world, whether it's at the highest level or the lowest level. Whether you're in the gutter or in the White House, you pay as you go. It's as simple as that. But remember, I'm an outsider looking in. And as a result of my outspokenness, I've made a lot of friends and an awful lot of non-friends. In some cases, made some enemies. Quite a few, unfortunately. I wish I didn't. But that's the nature of speaking your mind. And I knew he made a mistake by taking that call from Taiwan. Big mistake. It was a public embarrassment of China. And I said, you don't kick China in the guts and expect them to just take it lying down. They wouldn't take it down. Thank God someone corrected him. That's all. Now, the question is this good or bad for Taiwan? And what's the long game here? Are they going to now gobble up Taiwan and say it's a renegade province, which they've been saying for since forever, since the Chinese Communist Revolution? I hope not. Are we going to stand with Taiwan if China tries to invade Taiwan? Oh, my God. I mean, this is a huge issue. Where is this going? China gobbled up Hong Kong, didn't it? Without a word. China's running the Panama Canal. Remember that under Bill Clinton? Okay, China runs the Panama Canal under Bill Clinton. China takes back Hong Kong, blah, blah, blah. Now they still have one last big one to go, and that's Taiwan, renegade province. The Taiwanese are not the same as the mainland Chinese. Ethnically, maybe yes, in some ways. Direct ethnic connections. Culturally, absolutely. But economically, no. Now, as China has become more and more capitalistic, there is more in common between mainland China and Taiwan than may meet the eye. Taiwan used to be a stalwart capitalist nation, and they boomed while China was stuck in the rickshaw age. But then China became a monster once they released themselves from the communist ideology. And there are many business relationships right now between Taiwan and mainland China. So let's hope, as Americans looking in, that this does not lead to war. And that, my friends, is my appeal to you. Now let's go to the issue of the day, which is the drug story. We have not yet touched on another aspect of the drug story. Fatal overdoses from fentanyl being sold as cocaine. Another huge story. Opioid crisis in America that Trump talked about. Federal health officials recently published a report detailing an 8-hour period in New Haven, Connecticut, last June that saw a wave of 12 overdose cases brought to one hospital, three of them fatal when a potent opioid called fentanyl was sold as cocaine. Many of you don't know that fentanyl is one of the most powerful drugs out there. Unfortunately, many fentanyl overdoses are occurring when the drug is either labeled as more common opioids like heroin or oxycodone. It's actually more powerful than heroin, did you know that? And far more powerful than oxycodone. Fentanyl is given for the treatment of severe pain, especially in cancer cases. But fentanyl is now being released on the streets illicitly and by prescription. And there's more addiction than ever. Unfortunately, people can use it once and become addicted. Did you know that? So believe me, the president has the power to stop this. He can drag drug company executives in and put them in jail for releasing these drugs on the streets. What, because they wear a clean suit and tie, they're good people? They may be worse than a local drug dealer, what they're doing to this country. How about the people who manufacture oxycodone and distribute it? And I mean legally. Do you know how many times they've been arrested and got out of jail? They never went to jail. They paid huge fines. There's one family that produces oxycodone legally. Did you know that? Did you know their names? You know who they are? You know where they live? You know what they do? Look into it. You'll find the answers. Nick, WABC, line 2, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I don't, Mike. I've been clean and sober 3 years from opiates, and I tell you, it was a killer. And what saved me is a doctor and the pharmaceutical company. I didn't have to go to rehab. I wasn't away from my family. It was an inpatient medicine that I took from home. Because let me tell you, withdrawals is worse than being waterboarded. It's the worst feeling.
What's the medicine they use for a withdrawal? What do they give you?
Suboxone.
And what, do you get high on it or what?
No, it kills the withdrawal, and it lasts for 3 days, and it blocks the pain medicine, the dopamine receptors and everything.
And after 3 days you're cured of the addiction?
No, after it gets rid of the withdrawals, which is the hardest part.
Okay, so you don't get the shakes, you don't get the pain, you don't get the whole thing, the shuddering, the nightmare.
It's worse.
Okay, so what's your answer then, Nick? What's the answer to you? What's your answer to the drug epidemic?
They should get on the pharmaceutical companies more. They can have kind of like a cure for this that helps each drug.
All right, so it's what I've been saying. The pharmaceutical companies need to be in Trump's sights. They're releasing dangerous drugs onto the streets. Nick, thanks for calling. If you name the book, you gain the book. What's the name of my new book?
Trump's War.
There, you see, it didn't affect your memory. That's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. KSFO, Michael, line 3, you're next up. Topic, please. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael Savage, Dr. Savage. I am a Colombian Italian American that have been in the music industry for about the past 35 years. I've done everything from work on hot rods to build shows. I've worked for Andre Bocelli and all the way to Metallica. So
wow.
I think in the industry, there's like a certain level that people get to. They go through their addictions like you did, experimenting. And then in a working day, everybody's got either they're on their pain meds because they've had accidents before. It's so that whole drug industry just keeps you going and going and going, and the doctors keep you on the pain med. It took, 3 years for me to get off opioids from a horrible...
How'd you get off? What were you on, fentanyl?
No, actually it was morphine and then hydrocodone. So they weaned me down to that, and then they turned me into a functioning junkie, because that was the only way I could even get out of bed.
What do you mean by functioning junkie? By putting you on what?
Oh, on just everything that they had prescribed, from the muscle relaxers to be able to sleep, and then to get up and work, because going through rehab, you still got to work and everything.
Right.
And having to go do shows, you're doing just enough pain meds to keep you alert. And I'm a rigger, I'm a lighting tech, video tech, I climb. And there was that certain level that you had to medicate yourself to get through the day. But at the same time, there's that fine line that a lot of people never function
on. So where are you today? I mean, where are you today to function? What are you still using stuff to get through the day?
No, I went over to herbs, which we're working a lot with industrial hemp and the high CBD content, which helps with a lot of the pain, because it hits a lot of the neurons in your brain the same way, so it kind of blocks it. And it's not the THC side of hemp, which actually gives you the hallucinations, and you know it's like smoking pot. But
so it's the other alkaloids. Are they alkaloids that you're talking about, or other compounds?
It's the other compounds, the other THCG, there's CBDN, there's quite a few. And there's a really good Israeli company that actually, I started taking some of their medicine, and it's totally natural, and it doesn't get you high, but it just kind of blocks those nerve endings. It's like a sciatic pinch or something.
Yeah, that's nice. What's the name of that? What's the name of the drug?
It is by a company out of Israel called Ananda Scientific.
Leave it to the Jews. That's terrific.
It's amazing. We're also
leave it to the Jews. You get your cake and eat it too that way.
It is. We're also.
But you're not. What you're saying is you're not getting high. It's blocking the receptors, right?
Completely. And it's my girlfriend. She's a cancer survivor, and she's got metal rods in her back. And they have on 23 different medicines a day. And she got off and has done a cleanse and going back to the natural herbs and juicing and literally turned herself around from the mummy that they turned her into a functioning person again.
Amazing. Well, look, it's a new world, Michael, and I think this topic is a very important one, which is the whole issue of the national drug crisis. We're talking about it from many different levels today. But I'm not coming at it from a moralistic point of view. I think you probably heard that by now, correct?
Well, being half Colombian, I worked in the industry during the whole Miami Vice era. I saw all of that, and I saw what it does to people. I worked a lot in Mexico for actually building projects for the cartels, auditoriums, places that they put their money. And seeing that side of it and how horrible everybody... Now, there's a line there that the poor people in that country don't have anything to do with drugs. Nothing to do with it. It is like you're vermin if you're doing drugs in Mexico. Because...
What, you mean the average person looks down upon drug usage, and the average Catholic Mexican will not touch the stuff, right?
It's a whole other world. And the same thing in Colombia. And it's really only the rich and the stupid that go and do these things to themselves and create more problems than life already gives you every day. I mean, that's
amazing. Well, let me ask you something else. I mean, you're a guy who knows a lot more than you're saying, obviously. Michael, if you go to Mexico and you look at some of the indigenous drugs that they're using in the form of alcohol, put aside, for example, the other stuff, but let's say the very powerful alcoholic beverages, the mezcal and whatever, what about those? Aren't they using them to a great extent?
They're still, and a lot of the American Indians are still using their peyote. And I was born.
Yeah, but I'm talking about stuff. Let's say even the common stuff like tequila.
Oh yeah, like mezcal. You're talking about that.
Yes, not mescaline, but mezcal or tequila. I mean, people are still using that. They've been using it since ancient times. It goes back to what I was saying earlier, Michael. As a former anthropologist, every society on Earth has found a way to relieve the suffering, the pain, the boredom, with something from their environment. In the case you're living in a desert, they found somehow that a cactus could produce something that whacked them out, right? So in other words, people are going to look for an escape no matter which way you go, somewhere in the world.
Egyptians had something like the guarape, which is a fermented drink that would put our normal IPAs to shame.
Hello, Michael. Stay on the line. I love this conversation. This is the Savage Nation. We are talking about the national drug crisis. Right now, the caller is Michael from KSFO, who claims he is of Colombian-Italian origin. He has been in the drug and the music industries. And I think it's an interesting call from many different perspectives, especially the use of a substance that is being made in Israel that does not get you high. It's derived from hemp, but it blocks the receptors. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. After all this talk about drugs, I mean, you probably got the munchies, and there's no one like your Valentine. This year, treat them to the most delicious gift in the world. It's a gift from Shari's Berries, and it really will show her that you put thought into finding the perfect gift. Freshly dipped, delicious strawberries from Shari's Berries starting at just $19.99 plus shipping, or double the berries for just $10 more. My code SAVAGE will get you this deal. The berries are delicious, decadent, juicy, sweet, shareable, and irresistible. You can dip those berries in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness, or you can surprise her at her office or workplace. Who doesn't like this? Her coworkers are going to freak out. They're going to be a little jealous. Maybe she'll share them with them, so get double the amount. Shari's Berries will deliver your gift fresh and on time, guaranteed, or you get your money back. With Valentine's Day right around the corner, there's only one way to get Shari's Berries starting at just $19.99. Come on, guys, don't be cheap. Just go to berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. Click on the mic in the right and type in Savage, right? You go to berries.com, click on the mic in the right and type in Savage. Order them today. Don't be a cheapo. She's going to love it. You know it and I know it. Now let's get back to the topic at hand. I don't have an answer. All we've done is talk about it. Remember, I'm only a commentator. I have no way to tell you how to handle all the elements of this drug problem. I don't have an answer. Everyone has to find the answer themselves in a straight way. Now, of course the government could do certain things, and they are. Trump is going to be a law and order president. He already said he's going to build a wall to stop the flow of people and contraband. He said that. He passed three executive orders the other day, got no credit for it. We got a new tough attorney general. It's not going to be an attorney general turns on the people who simply disagree with the government. He's going to turn on the bad guys, which is the way you'd expect a top cop to act, right? The police are now more empowered than they were a few weeks ago. They're not going to be afraid of the thugs, okay, no matter what they call themselves. They're not going to be afraid of them just because they hide themselves behind a race, man. The cops have to be out there, or else we're going to have total anarchy, and I don't want to see this country descend into Lebanon. I hope you don't either. And so that's why we're talking about it from all these different points of view. Ultimately, it comes back to you. Someone just sent me an email showing that you can get marijuana delivered virtually anywhere right now. I don't know how they do this. This is up in Santa Rosa. 10, 15 different places they'll deliver marijuana to your door. How do they do that without without a prescription? And how many people are using it not for medicinal reasons? All of them? Maybe all of them? And so what is this addiction going to do to the society a few years from now? Make it a healthier society or a more addicted society? Think about it, Jane.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Maybe I'll do a show on sex addiction next week, and then rock and roll addiction. I don't know, but today it's drug addiction. And what do you do about it? It's that simple. National drug crisis. Trump is a law and order president. He passed three executive orders. Got no credit for it from the Lilliputians. It's going to have an effect because we have a new attorney general. Instead of a monster who has only race on his mind or on her mind, looking for the evil white man wherever you turn, which is the way it was. I mean, let's be clear, okay? We've lived through a reign of terror, 8 years of a reign of terror where crime was out of control, and the Attorney General did nothing but look for racism. That's all they were looking for. And so then, at the end of his regime, in the reign of terror, he releases thousands of drug dealers. Think about that legacy that old Barry's going to leave behind. Now, don't expect the Lilliputians in the mainstream or the media to tell you what's really going on. We have a huge homicide epidemic, drug epidemic. It's all a direct result of the last 8 years of Barry's reign of terror. So now, what are we going to do about the drug crisis that we have today? That's what we're talking about. And all we can do is talk about it. I have no policy influence whatsoever. I'm not a counselor. I don't have teeth whiteners and long blonde hair and things like that. I don't look like a barfly, so I have no ability to counsel the president in any way. Someone sent this to me about fentanyl, one of the most dangerous drugs around. Many of you never heard of fentanyl. Someone said this. Do people know that fentanyl is being sold on the streets in sealed pharmaceutical packaging? They say, I know someone who I saw had a whole bunch of empty packages. The pharmaceutical companies must be missing it, or doctors are losing it. They should be traceable, shouldn't they? They have serial numbers on them. They have barcodes on them. And I have pictures of them. Fentanyl, transdermal system, 75 mics per hour, with barcodes, and they're being sold as illicit drugs in the streets. And the article from Google says, the Chinese connection fueling America's fentanyl crisis. Oh, really? Like, I'm surprised. Then someone said to me as well, Suboxone is like methadone. It satisfies the craving, but you can still have the detox symptoms. And it is addictive, too, so you have to go through Suboxone withdrawals after you get off the opioid. That's what I was afraid of, because, having studied a little bit about phytochemistry when I was younger in grad school, I was fascinated with the subject. It's a field I love. I really do. I just not spent a lot of time in it. I did when I was younger. I ate, drank, and slept it. I ate, drank, and slept phytochemistry. There's something magical about organic compounds and just how they look inside, things like that. So I'm no expert on it, but I do know a little bit about it. I know that at the turn of the 1900s, there was an epidemic of addiction, like ours today, but it was of something else. It was of morphine. Morphine was legal. Morphine was legal. There was no drug war at that time. Morphine, derived from the opium poppy, was sold in many different forms the way marijuana is sold today. Oh, yeah, you could chew it, you could snort it, you could drink it, you could this it, you could that it. They even had children's, babies' formulas of morphine. Did you know that? They would calm teething babies with morphine, if you can believe that. They did, so they raised an entire generation of addicts. And the morphine addiction got so out of control that the government went to the chemists at the time and said, you got to develop something to get people off morphine. They can't get off it. They're addicted. So they created something in the laboratories that would get people. It was magical. Get them off the morphine. And all they did was modify the molecule, 3,6-diacetyl morphine. All they did was modify a few of the points of attachment of the morphine molecule. Changed a few O's and H's and C's. And it was a miracle. And you know what that medicine was to get people off morphine, 3,6-diacetyl morphine? Yeah, you know it is heroin. How'd that work out? We all know heroin became more addictive than morphine, so what happened many years later? Well, they had to go back to the chemistry drawing board, and they said, well, now develop a new drug to get people off heroin. Well, they did. Now, what was that? Well, that was called something else that they gave out, and that became more addictive than the heroin, methadone. People were using it to get high on. So it's a problem. I don't have an answer for you. All I know is that in my circles, when I was a young kid, some of the people in those circles became drug addicts. I didn't. It was all around me. Some kids went to harder drugs. Most of it just smoked pot. Some, unfortunately, went on to heroin, by the way. I'm not condemning them. It just happened. That's what happened. Why? Why did some of us go on to heroin and some didn't? That's a question I never really asked myself. But you know what I think about it? I think of my mother, God rest her soul. She lectured me every day that I was a teenager. She knew there were drugs everywhere. She knew drugs were a problem. She didn't ignore it. She didn't wink at it and say, have a good time. She didn't say, go out and do what I did, like many of the parents did in the generation after that. She would give like lectures in the third person. She would like talk in the living room like no one was there. And she wouldn't even talk to me. She'd hold up newspapers and talk to the wall about, look at this person, look what happened to him, and look what happened to this person using drugs. She didn't even look at me. She was talking like a delivery, like a talk show host in the room. Then also other things, she would say, you know what, I think anyone who uses drugs is weak. That's what she would say, they're just weak. I didn't know what she was talking about. But looking back, maybe those little messages were enough to keep me from putting a needle in my arm. I really don't know. The poor guys I knew who went on to the needle in the arm, they were not bad guys. I loved them both. They were terrific guys. They weren't evil. They weren't different than I was in any way. They were nice guys. I don't know what it was in their life. Actually, I think I do, actually. I don't want to talk about it. But one of them, you know, used heroin. The other one used heroin, this and that. What are you going to do about it? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know why some do and some don't. The thing to remember, though, is not to moralize and make yourself superior to the other person. That's the most important thing for those of us who don't use drugs to remember, is we're not better than them. But for a quirk of for the quirk of a gene, or someone looking at you the wrong way when you're 5 years old, you'd be using drugs too. I mean, you don't know what triggers people to do certain things, right? An uncle touched them, an aunt molested them, the father did this, the mother did that. Who knows? All I know is that there's an out-of-control drug problem in America, and the drug companies have a lot to do with it. Period, end of story, and we know that. And who has to pick up the pieces? The cops. Who has to pick up the pieces of the problem? The cops. Then the social workers. Then the nurses. Then the doctors. They have to pick up the pieces. So I don't know the answer to the question. I know this. A law and order candidate like Donald Trump, and he was largely a law and order candidate in many ways, is going to change the shape of this problem in America. A change is coming, whether you like it or not, it is coming. And I do not think legalization is the answer, by the way. I think it'll make the epidemic even worse, by the way. I've heard every argument under the sun. Legalize it, take it out of the hands of the criminals, give it this. I know none of it makes sense because there's always a counterpoint, right? Maybe education is important, like Nancy Reagan's Just Say No. That was a good beginning. How many schools today teach the dangers of marijuana? None. In San Francisco, they probably give it out like candy, tell them it's good for them. That only evil people don't smoke it. I don't know how crazy the city is. You got to start educating the children that drugs are not morally bad. They're bad for you, period. They weaken you. Maybe you show them the animal world. If I were teaching today, and I wanted to teach young children not to use drugs, I'd hold up a kitten or a puppy. And then I would put a needle down on the table. And I would say, would you put this needle in this puppy? No, teacher, don't put the needle in the puppy. Then I'd hold the puppy up and I'd put a dish of white powder on the table. And I'd say, kids, you know what's probably in this white powder. It's probably a bad drug that's bad for people, right? What's it called, kids? Well, it's called this, it's called that. Would you let your puppy have that? No, teacher, I wouldn't do it because the puppy would get sick. That's called positive conditioning. It's as old as time. But it's not being done, is it? How has it come to the point where children are not taught about the dangers of drugs? Forget the evil. Put evil out of it. Stop demoralizing. Let's get down to brass tacks. The dangers, not the evil. Why are they not doing it? I don't have an answer for you other than liberalism, which is, of course, the answer to all problems. More liberalism equals more drugs. More liberalism equals more rampant drug use. You know that and I know that. So which way are we going to go? We're going to go back to the 1910 era? Are we going to go back to the stop and frisk, the no-knock law kicking in doors? Probably. My guess is yes. My guess is yes. We're going to go backwards, not forwards. And that's why I'm a regressive, not a progressive. I want regressive. I'm a happy regressive. I want to go backwards, not forwards, when it comes to stopping the drug epidemic. I don't think that Rachel Maddow is the answer to the drug problem. Do you? No, I don't think so. No, I think the other method worked pretty good. You're afraid of the cops, you stopped it. It's another, by the way, that was another great impediment to drug usage. Fear of the law. The French used to have a joke, you know. They took it from the statement that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The French had a different version of that, which is fear of the law is the beginning of wisdom. That used to be when France was still strong. The law and the fear of law is a very good impediment to stopping you from doing bad things to yourself and others, by the way. Okay? So we're talking here. We're just talking here. That's all we're doing. It's just a talk show. Don't confuse me with a government official. I'm not a counselor to the president. I'm not advisor to the president. In fact, because of my criticism of the president, there goes the Japanese state dinner. I will not be enjoying the sushi tonight with the President Abe, because I do not have a $5,000 Gucci dress, and I do not have teeth whiteners. I am not there tonight. But that's the way it is, and this is the way it should be. This is the Savage Nation. What would you like to say? I've said it all. There's nothing for you to say, but when I come back, I'll take your calls anyway. I'll be right back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. A non-drug-related issue. I get this email on michaelsavage.com. People are commenting. So a guy says, I worked for FAIR in D.C. as a researcher back in the 80s. Currently, I have this to report. Illegal immigrants and legal immigrants on birth certificates routinely state father unknown and do not name the father for one single purpose, so the state can never go after the father for child support. This fraud and abuse is routine. They live in federal housing, Section 8, with the father, but deny his presence in all forms. Meanwhile, the father works for an income. This formula to scam Americans is commonplace. Trust me, he is right. I was a former social worker on New York's Upper West Side. I saw the scams from day and night. Here's another email. Of course you can light candles in church. Try an Anglican church, ACNA. We light candles all the time. So does the Congregational Church in town every Sunday. I was talking about a close relative of the family who died over the last few days, Jimmy Black, a steam fitter who lives on Long Island, lived on Long Island, the New York Union guy, great guy. And we were going to go tonight, you know, as a respect for him out here. And the Catholic Church says, no candles. Can't come and can't light a candle here. It's illegal. Can you believe this? You can't light a candle in a Catholic church? What is this country that I'm living in? Jewish people light candles in synagogues on Friday. I don't understand that. Anyway, how come Japan doesn't have a drug problem? Anyone have an answer to that? How come China doesn't have a big drug problem? Does it have anything to do with the fact that they kill drug dealers? I remember when I went to Malaysia 30 years ago, who knows when, I was there on a business trip. I was a consultant on how to give speeches. Believe it or not, I was giving speeches in English to Muslim ladies who were in full garb, loved me in translation. I knew I had a knack for them. I didn't know they would understand what I was saying, but they did. They applauded when I was finished. Maybe they're being polite. But as I arrived in the airport, drove out of Kuala Lumpur, the taxi, there's huge billboards that say, using drugs in Malaysia is punishable by death. That's all. I said, wow, that's a pretty clear message. That tends to put a little damper on hippies coming in and smoking dope in that country. They, like, do a bypass from Malaysia. You know what I'm saying? So maybe a little strict, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what the answer is here. Maybe that's going to happen anyway. 3.5 years to build a wall with Mexico? That's the latest report? 3.5 years now? It's almost over the first half a year already. 3.5 years? That's what we're going to have to wait? 3.5 years? Damn, it must be a faster way to do this. There's got to be a faster way to do it than a wall. Someone has an idea. Build two massive water pumping systems, one in the Gulf of Mexico and the other in the Pacific Ocean. Connect them together with one long pipe. Rent as many bulldozers and cement mixers as you can to pile up layers of dirt. To each layer, add water plus Bacillus pasteurii, a bacteria that turns wet soil into solid rock. We need to only pay for the pipeline and pumping station to labor. The soil, water, and bacteria are free. End result, a wall better than engineered in the Great Wall of China in a fraction of the time it took to build at a fraction of the cost. Build two walls and flood the intervening space for greater security, then rent the canal out to shippers to help defray costs. That came to me on michaelsavage.com. Can you send it on to the Barfly? Maybe she'll be able to offer it to the president. I don't know. Something's wrong with that picture. I'm not going to talk about her anymore unless it becomes a big deal. That's all. All I know is that she's become the Nancy Pelosi of the Trump administration. How is it that I was able to make jokes about Nancy Pelosi's delivery, but if I say anything about Kellyanne Conway, I'm attacked by people who voted for Trump? What's wrong with them? Do you think everyone who works for Trump is God and godlike? Come on. You know what I'm saying? This is the Savage Nation. If you'd like to call the show, forget about it. Every line is sold out. I'm sorry. But I have only 54 seconds to take a call, and I can't do it. I don't know. Why do I feel so good today? A, it's Friday. B, I had the first cup of coffee I've had in 3 days. I went off coffee for 3 days because I wanted to stabilize a slight arrhythmia I was getting. And it was related to caffeine, believe it or not. Would you believe it? Caffeine and anxiety. The anxiety of walking a tightrope. I did a tightrope for 20 years. I never got anxiety. Never. I'm fearless on the radio. You know that. You can hear it in my voice. You got to be with sugar to do what I do. But it helps if you're a little nuts to do this. And I am. And that's why I do it well. I also have the combination of being a little nuts and a little daring. And also, I'm blessed with a very gifted mind. But I had to get control of that slight arrhythmia. So I stopped the coffee and it went away. So today I had the first cup of coffee. My mind is so sharp. I could do 7 hours of radio right now from one cup of coffee. Would you believe this? Talk about an addiction.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
An editorial in the Washington Times from a guy named Robert Charles, who, spent a lot of time trying to solve the drug problem. He worked for a number of administrations. And he has a couple of great ideas, because there's so many young people of every race, every religion, who are dying of drug overdoses, right? And how about those who die because of drug driving, workplace accidents, urban violence, domestic abuse, property and personal crime? It's an epidemic. It's a drug epidemic. Now, Donald Trump was the first president to address it that I know of since Nancy Reagan as first lady. Remember? Just say no. Donald Trump said he would put a stop to the drugs coming in from Mexico. Let's be clear. One of the reasons you want the wall is to stop the flow of drugs. When Donald Trump was running, he appeared in many places. Of course, he appeared in New Hampshire, where there's a terrible, terrible drug epidemic of OxyContin, right? Now, we have an exploding marijuana abuse epidemic. Many of you think that marijuana is a benign drug. It is not. It's a toxic, dangerous gateway drug. It's a result of the failure of the media and the national leadership, who jokes and promotes drugs. That would be Obama. What do you expect when Obama released thousands of drug traffickers? Those are drug dealers. You have a tear in the social fabric. What do you expect to happen when successive attorneys general fail to enforce federal laws against drug trafficking? Again, failed leadership. But there's a new sheriff in town. We have an opiate crisis. He says, the writer of this article, Mr. Robert Charles, that this is traceable in large measure to false messages. States are actually promoting drug abuse, especially of marijuana, with false narratives about marijuana being helpful for you, even if you're not sick. It is drug abuse. No way to look at it any other way. It is drug abuse. You put marijuana into a young teenager's brain, you're affecting the brain development. Deadly, in a deadly way. These narratives are criminal. And the raging marijuana crisis reflects ignorance, indifference, and cynicism. Legalizing and promoting drug abuse for tax money is sickening. And we're going to talk about that. Teens do not start with opiates. They begin with other drugs, especially marijuana. The fact of the matter is you don't want to accept it anymore because you've been brainwashed into thinking that marijuana is okay. It isn't. Every movie I turn on has someone smoking a joint. Now, treatment, okay, they say is essential, but it will not end the drug crisis. How do you end the drug crisis? So, my friends, it's a topic that I'd like to talk about because it's not talked about. And it's a national drug crisis. And Donald Trump promised to stop the drug crisis during the campaign. And frankly, he has done the first thing. He has passed some laws through executive orders that the vermin in the media are already knocking. Whatever he does is no good to the drug pushers on television. You look at the drug pushers on television. What do they have to say against Trump when he says he's going to crack down on crime? They didn't like that either. Or he's going to support the police. They didn't like that either. The craven idiots in the media, those who put out the fake news, those who support drug addiction and rampant sexuality with children. My friends, we have to solve the problem. You must not look to Jake Tapper as the Albert Einstein of the media. The man is a shill, a dummy. A dummy. In my day, the most a guy like that could have done was maybe be a shoe salesman. That's all the most. a shoe salesman in, let's say, at the Bloomingdale's, on his knees all day, trying on different size shoes. I guess he could choose the shoes for you. How is it that most people can get along without them? Let's start with the other side of the drug addiction story. Yes, there's an addiction problem, but most Americans are not addicted to drugs. Most Americans get through a day without having a stick and needle in their arm or snort something up their nose or smoke some poison. How do they do that? Someone emailed me just now and said the Dutch legalized heroin and destroyed Holland. Hello? Is that what you want in America? Sure. If you work for one of the corporations that have the news business and they also have the rehab business and they're also in the pharmaceutical business, sure, poison a nation. What do you care? You make it every 6 ways to Sunday. You own the entertainers that push the drugs. You own the drug companies that make the drugs. You own the rehab companies that treat the drug addicts. Why not legalize drugs? Sure, that's the argument, right? What would you say is the answer? What is the answer? As I told you, there's a spiritual aspect. But what's the answer to that? What, are you going to pray? You're going to, heroin addict's got the shakes because he wants a shot. He's going to go pray all of a sudden. That's going to be the cure? I don't know. Does that work? I doubt it. When someone's in withdrawal, you can't tell them, here's a Bible. Does that work? I don't think it works. So what does that mean? See, it's easy to say there's a spiritual element. We all know that it's caused by an emptiness in the soul. We get that. But you know, an emptiness of the soul didn't just begin yesterday. It began when mankind turned his back from the Garden of Eden. I mean, that's when the emptiness began. What are you going to do about that? So a lot of people find it in religion. Former drug addicts or non-drug addicts, they find a fulfillment in religion, in a relationship with God. What does fulfillment mean? Look at the word. Look at the power of a word. I'm a master of words. Look up the etymology of fulfillment, to be filled. But to be filled with what? Not filled with junk, not filled with poison, not filled with dope, not filled with toxins, not filled with filth. Fulfillment. In this case, fulfilled with the word of God. It works for millions of people. It has worked for millions of people from the beginning of recorded history. Christians, Jews are relieved of that emptiness through their religion, aren't they? Easier said than done. But nevertheless, it's out there for you. It's out there. It doesn't have to be created. You don't have to search for the answer. The answer is sitting awaiting for you. So I told you, I read one about an emailer who said that it has to do with a spiritual crisis, symptom of a bigger collective disease, and people have hurting souls. And they're trying to numb the pain, fill the unseen void. And even if you cut off the supply, the demand will the supply will never be eliminated. So the only possible solution is to try to eliminate the demand. I don't have an answer to eliminating the demand. Because a furtherance to that email says this. Even though we have a spiritual crisis, Americans also grow up trained to seek pleasure in the form of quick fix highs from sugar and sweets all day long. Instant entertainment. Now it's on androids. Sex obsession, the high of falling in love, as opposed to staying in a relationship after that high wears off. So I don't know how you solve it. You know, the years I was a phytochemist, I was an ethnobotanist, to be specific. And I remember reading about all the cultures on Earth going back to the beginning of time who sought relief from what they called the vicissitudes of existence. Every culture on this Earth from the beginning of time, even in cave drawings, sort of relief from the boredom of everyday life, in other words. The vicissitudes of existence, whether it was called ayahuasca, or it was an early mash produced by the ancient Babylonians. You know that story of how beer was originated. I remember writing that. In 1975, I published the book, The Taster's Guide to Beer. I loved that book. Did a lot of interesting research on beer. I don't drink much beer now, but I did then, and I home-brewed. I did it all back in the 70s. It was a beautiful book. The story was is that in ancient day, you know, Mesopotamia, someone was chewing some of the grains, didn't finish the meal, left it over that night in a dish. They didn't have refrigeration. The next day they came to eat it. They ate what was left over in their house. They ate it, and they got a weird feeling, like, hey, that feels good. My husband doesn't look as ugly anymore today. And that's because it had fermented slightly, and alcohol had been produced from the ambient yeast, mixing with the dough, whatever it was. And that was the beginning of the brewing of beer. That's one theory on how beer was originally brewed. Now, wine originated in ancient Persia. I don't know if you know that. That's the last I checked. So every culture, every society, no matter where, if they could, they would find relief from everyday vicissitudes, existence, boredom. People are freaked out every day because they can't take it. So they look for a way out. Now, you're looking for a way out by listening to me. I'm addictive. I'm a drug. My voice is a drug. I know it. The talk radio is a very addictive medium. This is an addictive drug, this medium that you're listening to. I highly recommend it. I'm the supplier, and you're the user. But we have many different ways to get out of our lives, don't we? Sometimes we go to the racetrack, or we go to a sporting event. We get out of ourselves. That's okay. It's kind of harmless, right? Not hurting anybody. Or we use alcohol. We use marijuana, which is probably the most dangerous lie of our time. I'm so totally opposed to the legalization movement under the guise that it's healthful. It is not helpful. I don't want to argue with you. I'm not saying alcohol is good for you and marijuana is bad. But please, the pot callers are legion. I don't want any of them. If they want to destroy their brains, they can do it. God bless all of you. Go destroy your brain. You're going to destroy your life as well. You're walking around high. You're telling me that you're functioning well. Let's put this on an animal level before we get back to the generics. The specifics. Let's do the generics. Look at the animal world. It's a competitive world, is it not? Live and die, kill or be killed in the animal world, predator prey. What animal on earth would seek to weaken its vigilance in the jungle? Tell me what animal on earth would want to be weaker in the jungle when knowing that the predator's everywhere. Now, why would you want to weaken your mind and weaken your body and open yourself up to be more vulnerable to attack unless you're suicidal? Then I can't help you. That's another problem. It's not my problem. So what I'm arguing for is try to stay straight in plain English. You know that we have the first straight president in God knows how many years. I don't know if anyone's talked about this one. I didn't plan on even talking about it. Donald Trump doesn't drink. When have you last seen Jake Tapper talk about that? That fool. That shoeshine boy of the left, Jake Tapper. Donald Trump does not drink. How important is that? I don't know. You think about it. That's why he's up all night. He probably doesn't sleep very much. He doesn't need to sleep. He's full of energy. Doesn't drink, not even a social drinker, not a wine, not a beer. I understand that because I learned it very early on in my studying about Donald Trump before I initially backed him. So now you're going to see things you cannot believe in this country. The drug epidemic is out of control because Obama looked the other way. And to make matters even worse, the worst president in American history released thousands of drug dealers as a spit in the eye to the middle class. Just as he left office, he released thousands of drug dealers into the streets of America to do what they do best, which is poison the minds of America. Think about that. He was the worst president, the most toxic president in American history. One day you'll see.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, Kaiyai, Kaiyipiyai, where they're out where the wild plains are, where a friend is a friend. Still haven't found it, but I'm still looking out here on the West Coast for that Gene Autry view of the West Coast. Cocaine-related deaths spiked nearly 60% since 2010. A new report blames the deadly combo of cocaine and fentanyl, the powerful synthetic opioid. But you didn't hear about this during the reign of terror of Obama. They buried it, didn't they? Crime was down, homicide was down, drug use was down. They lied to you, the Jakes of the world, the wolves of the world. The playgirls of the media lie to you. Now all of a sudden the truth seems to be seeping out of the fake news outlets. How's that possible? The world is changing. We have a new sheriff in town. The fact of the matter is things are going to change rapidly. So we're talking about drugs and drug addiction. Someone sent me this article, 9 Animals to Get Drunk or High. You're not an alcoholic compared to the tree shrew. These little guys drink alcohol 2 hours a night every night all year long. Bohemian waxwing birds get so drunk they have to go to rehab. Did you know that? Birds eat certain berries. which ferment when the weather gets cooler, making alcohol. Most birds just get a little buzz, but others don't know how when to stop. Some are even drunk flyers, which can unfortunately mean fatal crashes with buildings. This fall, several birds became so intoxicated they had to be admitted to the animal health care unit in Yukon, Canada to sober up. I'm not making this up. Bats can handle their alcohol, we read. Bats. Tree shrews drink beer every night because of evolution. Who knew? Vervet monkeys steal cocktails from humans. Vervet monkeys in the Caribbean began their addiction to alcohol 300 years ago when they discovered fermented sugar cane during the height of the plantation era. They developed such a liking to ethanol that one in five monkeys preferred drinking alcohol over water, according to a 1993 study published by Pharmacology, Biochemistry, and Behavior. Much like humans, the study discovered that teenage monkeys consume much more alcohol than adults. That's awesome. I wonder what they use for hangovers. I don't know. I have to look into that. Rough-toothed dolphins risk their lives getting high off pufferfish. Did you know that dolphins are so intelligent that they get intoxicated from pufferfish, whose poison is, according to Discover magazine, 50 million times more deadly than marijuana, 40,000 times more dangerous than meth, and more fatal than poison from the black widow, pufferfish. That's awesome. One dose of the poison from the pufferfish, known as tetrodotoxin, can kill dolphins and humans. It will make you feel numb, tingly, and lightheaded before causing full-body paralysis. But rough-toothed dolphins live life on the edge. They filmed the dolphins acting peculiar after the mammals had chewed and passed around the pufferfish. I don't know how that works. That's awesome. Bees penalize drunk flyers and they get back to the hive. I didn't know about that one. Getting a DUI is probably terrible for you because you'll wind up in jail or you'll lose your license. But at least you're not a bee who was caught under the influence. Bees can get drunk off fermented nectar. Sounds like they are home to the San Francisco flying honeybee. Some bees get so wasted they don't even remember how to get home, but it's even more tragic for the bees that do manage to find their way back to the hive. You see, an entomologist found that some hives impose severe penalties for bees caught flying under the influence, even going as far as attacking the poor drunken bee. That's the kind of hive I want to live in. But apparently it's legal in the bee community to consume nicotine and caffeine. In a 2010 University of Haifa study, bees actually preferred nectar that contained nicotine and caffeine over normal nectar. Luckily for the bees, nicotine is naturally produced by the floral nectar of tobacco trees, while caffeine is found in citrus. My friends, there's so much more to learn. Don't be closed-minded. Open your mind. Ingest the world. Imbibe the truth. I'm Michael Savage. Good night.